Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We would love for you to join us on today's broadcast. If you have a question, a problem situation that you would like to find answers to, find some hope, we'll certainly direct you into the Word of God. We would love to talk with you about that. Again, the number, 844-322-2742. If you are watching us via Facebook or YouTube Live, if you have a question that you would like to post, do so right there in the comment section, and we'll try to get to that as well. So plenty of opportunities for you to join us on today's broadcast. And certainly there's a lot to talk about. This news cycle, this current news cycle, is just filled with all kinds of issues that are relevant and pertinent to each and every one of us. How do we handle them? How do we deal with them? How do we think about the events that happened in Charlottesville? How do we think about the scare with North Korea and what that could have been? The fact that an island, Guam, was, the citizens were on edge, and we had a government and a military on edge, poised for action. How do we think about that? Monday is a solar eclipse, and you know, it's going to cross the entire continent of America. And some are saying, some well-known voices are saying, this could be a sign of God's coming judgment on America. So watch out, get prepared. And some of these are saying, you Christians need to get right with God. And I throw up my hands and say, what happened to Jesus? What happened to the fact that he's made us right through his shed blood on the cross, that any child of God, any believer, has already been declared righteous? We are right with God. We'll always be right with God, not because of our actions, but because of the one act of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we've got those sort of things happening, a bunch of fear mongering as far as events in the sky that are forthcoming. So how do we handle all of these things? And how do we withstand the pressures of the world to conform when these sort of things happen? So if you would like to join the conversation today, we would love to talk with you about these very issues. Again, 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742 is the number. Interesting passage in the book of 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 3. And we ask about the patterns of this world. You know, Peter tells us not to conform to the patterns of this world. When suffering comes our way, Paul says the same thing. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Well, what's one of the patterns of this world? What is one of the things the world kind of presses us to do? Well, Paul talks about that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and really in both letters to the Corinthians. But here he says this, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. So that's not a good way to start if you're the recipient. It's like, oh, whoa, thank you, Paul. Thank you for those kind words. But he's just giving truth. He's just telling the truth. He said, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are not you being merely human? So what is the pattern of the world that Paul is addressing right here? Well, it's this human tendency to divide, to draw lines in the sand and say, I'm on this side, which side are you on? And those divisions move us apart instead of pulling us together. And so what happened in Charlottesville? Well, some horrendous things happened there. But what about the reaction to it? Well, if you looked on social media, Facebook, Twitter, read news posts, any of those sort of things, you saw lines being drawn. You know, I'm on this side of it, or I'm on that side of it. And those lines just get deeper and wider and move us further and further apart. Well, that's the world pressuring us to do that. What's the natural human way? To divide, to pick sides. And we see that happening in Corinth back in the day. It's happening in the church today. I mean, think of all the issues that are out there in the church. You know, do we baptize with water? Do we sprinkle? Do we immerse? Is it necessary for salvation or not? Do you have to do that in order to be fully welcomed as a member in a particular church? And so there's all different sides of that, and we draw lines and we pick sides, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, when we do that, are we coming together as one in Christ? Absolutely not. We are dividing over our particular flavors of what we think the Bible is telling us. So if we're going to be spiritual, then we have to let the gospel unite us. And that's what he says in chapter 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. How are we going to do that? Well, there's only one way, and that's when we get our minds on Jesus, on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and recognize that the gospel alone is the most relevant message that there is. It really does speak into every single issue. If we allow it to speak into these issues, as well as speak into our own hearts, we're going to see not these lines being drawn, but lines being erased, walls of hostility being torn down, and people coming together as one in Jesus Christ. We saw that happen in the early church. We saw Jew and Gentile who once stood at opposite ends of the spectrum, hating one another.
Yes.
But when the power of the gospel entered into that volatile situation, it destroyed the hostility in the hearts, and it brought two enemies together to live in harmony, to enjoy fellowship together around this message of Jesus. Only the message of Jesus can erase those lines, tear down those walls, and bring us together as one. Well, if you have something that you would like to comment on today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you. 1-844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful resource we want to put in your hands this particular month. It's entitled Your Living Hope. And Richard and I walk you through the first letter of Peter. It's a wonderful, wonderful letter. And you know, reading about Peter's life in the gospel accounts and then reading this letter, you think, this is a completely different guy. He penned some of the most beautiful, hopeful words that have ever been penned, words that can anchor us to the hope that we have in Christ and allow us to stand firm in the grace of God. And that's what we all need. And so we want to put this resource in your hands. Request it when you make your contribution to Basic Gospel this month, a gift. We want to send this to you as our way of saying thank you. You can go to basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button right there and request your copy, and we'll get it to you as quickly as we can. Or you can call 844-322-2742. And talk with Billy. She'll walk you through that process, and we'll get this resource on its way. Well, again, 844-322-2742 is the number. If you would like to join either Richard or myself on today's broadcast of Basic Gospel, we would love to hear from you. Scott writes to us on our Facebook page, and he asks the question, if money is the root of all evil, why does the church ask for it? It's a good question. Well, a couple of things, Scott, on your question. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil.
Correct.
It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's very important for us to understand. And what what Paul is getting out there is this idea of idolatry, that people worship money for what it can bring to their lives. And so it's the love of money that puts people into ruin. And we've seen that. We know people that has happened to. But it wasn't the money that did it. It was their love of the money that did it. Now, as far as why do churches ask for it? Well, because money's a necessary tool to advance the gospel. We ask for it because radio stations charge us to be on the air. This is listener-supported radio. So we're not like some of the talk show hosts that get paid a whole bunch of money to air their opinions and get sponsors. We are the sponsor of the program, and so we ask people to join with us in order to get this good news out. Why? Because we feel it's important to have the good news hit listeners' hearts out there. They need some truth, and so we ask people to join with us. If it didn't cost money, we wouldn't be asking for money. It's just
that easy.
Just that simple. So it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not money itself. And we ask for it. Churches ask for it. You know, there's a lot of people that ask for it just to pad their pockets. We don't do that, and there's many other churches that don't do that either. They just recognize that it's necessary to minister out there in this world. You have to have some income.
So if you've had some experience with a church or other organization that abuses this idea of asking for money, don't paint everybody with the same brush. And that comes back into this pressure to conform to the world system where we divide instead of unite. You know, I run around and I look at churches or I look at nonprofits or I look at businesses, and if I can find one thing wrong with them, then I'm going to write the whole thing off. But you can't get along in this world by behaving that way. Believe me, I've tried.
Right.
It doesn't work. That doesn't mean you have to give up your core beliefs. It means you have to walk in wisdom, and you get that wisdom from the indwelling Holy Spirit, not from your own frenzied thinking.
Right. Another thing about giving that I think it's important for us to know, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians and asking them to excel in the grace of giving, he gave an example. He said the Macedonian Christians, out of their poverty, this generous spirit welled up, and they gave out of their poverty. Mm-hmm. And why did they give? Because there was a need that needed to be met, and that need was some of the problems of the Jerusalem saints.
Yes.
The struggles that they were going through, the persecution that they were experiencing, and they needed resources. And so when the Macedonian Christians heard about that, they became eager to participate. They wanted to join in, and it was a blessing to them to give of their financial resources to meet that need. So I think that's a big part of it. Why do people give? I think it's to meet needs. As far as our ministry is concerned, we've been alleviating fear. There's lots of fear in the hearts of believers. They're fearful of God's punishment. Well, what does the love of God do? It casts away that fear. So when you give to Basic Gospel, you're putting a connection together. You're addressing the fear that's in a person's heart, and you are countering that with the love of God that's been fully demonstrated in Christ. And when those two meet, this love of God casts out that fear, and a person can walk in confidence and certainty that they know that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate them from the love of God. Is that a worthy need to invest in? Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So when you give, you're giving to meet some needs, to alleviate some needs, to bring some hope and confidence and assurance into the souls of people all around this country and around the world. Well, Scott, thanks for writing to us.
Yes.
We certainly appreciate you tuning in. I hope that was helpful. Again, 844-322-2742 is the number you can call right now, 844-322-2742. Richard, do we have any email questions?
Well, we actually don't have any email questions, but I want to follow up on something that we started talking about at the beginning. When we realize that the world wants to split us apart, and especially within the church, we see this happen, and it hurts so many people. How do you stand up for your beliefs and not go ahead and cause division yourself? Where is the fine line? I mean, this is rubber meets the road. You're going to run into this in any church you attend. How do you cope with things with which you disagree, with false dichotomies that are set up, with just all of this pressure that comes up? Where do you go for the source material? How do you check your own attitude, that sort of thing?
Well, I think that gets down to the goal of the teaching. So When Paul wrote Timothy, he said the goal of the teaching is love, love from a pure heart. Mm-hmm. Now, oftentimes when we are challenged to give an answer for the hope that is within us, we bring out a doctrinal statement. And the doctrinal statement has some sharp edges to it.
Yes.
And it's not easy to pass along. It's almost a propositional type thing. You believe this or you don't. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe it, you're against me and I'm against you. Well, that's the sharp edge of theology. Well, the gospel gives us a soft edge, and that edge is love. Why? Because the goal of the theology is love. The goal of the teaching is love. So when the world takes notice is when they see love in places that it really shouldn't be. They've never seen it there before. So back in the days of Paul and Peter, when the world looked on, when the Romans looked on and saw Jews and Gentiles loving one another as they'd never seen before, they took notice and said, what's the reason for this hope that is within you? And they could answer and say, it's the love of Jesus Christ. It's the love of Jesus Christ that was demonstrated for us at the cross through his death, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was the love that took away our sins, that satisfied God on our behalf. It was the love of God that declared us to be children of God. It's the love of God that now abides in us, that has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we have the opportunity to express as we trust in the living Christ. That's the hope that is within us. And when people see that, they'll take notice. And so we can give that answer and give the soft human God meet human type of thing in Christ reality to people. And that makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. Because I remember, you know, when I was, my wife and I, we studied our way out of the church we were raised in, and I immediately thought that I was going to go down the street and find another church, and it would be so much better. I mean, it would be heaven on earth. It would be Eden restored. And I discovered that everybody was the same. Whatever day you worshiped on, whatever your focus was, really didn't matter because the love was missing. And we usually saw that in terms of the sharp-edged statements of belief.
Yes.
It's like a multi-blade razor.
Yeah.
The first one pulls the whisker a little bit, and then it cuts, and pretty soon it's digging through the muscle of your face because there's way too many blades. And stopping and pulling away from that and saying, okay, Lord, rather than what does this church offer me, the question becomes, how do you want me to serve these people? And that puts a completely different spin on it because it is love-driven. It is not proposition-driven.
Right, and that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a watershed thing. If you think of Christianity in one way, you're going to go down that propositional road, and that just is going to lead to judgment and all sorts of things. If you recognize the relation side of it, that God has called you into relationship with himself through Jesus Christ, then that becomes the way you're going to approach people. So it's all about relationship. It's all about rolling up your sleeves, being kind, being patient, persevering, enduring, hoping the best, believing the best, all of those different elements of love that the teaching leads us to. That's the end result. So that's how we need to handle those sort of things. So thanks for bringing that up. Yeah. Ron Roberts has asked us on Facebook today, will we be held accountable for the number of people that we lead to Jesus? He has a friend that says maybe confusing this with some of the Old Testament scriptures. Now, did God set a quota for us, and we've got to meet that quota? Or,
well, it's far worse than that. If you meet the quota this year, He's going to raise the quota next year.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
and it only gets worse. No, there's no quota. There is this, right? We call it the grace of giving when we talk about money. It's the still same grace of giving when we bring the gospel to other people. I don't share my faith with other people for the basis of putting up a good mark against my name. I share the gospel with people because I can't help it.
Yes.
I mean, what has God done for me? How did He impact my life in a way that gave me love and peace and joy and long-suffering and all of that kind of thing? I can share that story with people. I can ask God to help me use words when I'm sharing that story that make Jesus even more beautiful and more desirable. And when that happens, people may not accept that from you, which is perfectly okay, but the seed has been planted. They can say, thank you for sharing your testimony, or thank you for explaining Jesus. And you just leave them there. And what they're expecting is you to turn them over to the closer, and then there's no closer. That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Right.
And so we don't have quotas for saving people. The blood of people is not on our hands. Jesus' blood cleanses us all if we'll accept it. That's the only blood that there is to rejoice in, certainly not to worry over. Just share Jesus. I mean, take people to Jesus and let them look at Him, consider Him, and then I get out of the way. I back away and let them finish that conversation with Him. I guarantee He's better at it than I am.
Oh, absolutely. And really, the story is Jesus, isn't it? So, like the woman at the well that Jesus met, the Samaritan woman, He has this conversation with her and tells her some things that he shouldn't have known about her, but yet he did, about her five previous husbands and the fact that the current man she was living with was not her husband. And He says, I'm the Messiah, and I'll give you living water. Well, what did she do? She went back into the village, and she said, come and see Jesus.
Yeah.
So it wasn't anything about her story and her, you know, all the great things that Jesus did in her life. It was simply come and see Jesus.
Come and see Jesus.
Why? Because He is the most incredible personality that's ever lived. He's the one that can capture a human heart. And that's why we need to make the story Jesus, because He is the story. And time again, as you read in the New Testament, you see people introducing others to Christ. And once we introduce people to Christ, then the Holy Spirit can do the work from there and can open their eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as we go out and share, and getting back to this love thing that we were talking about just a minute ago, if Christianity is a relationship, if it's all based on love, it's all based on the souls of men, that Christianity is interested in the souls of men, you be interested in the souls of men. Find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, that takes some courage. That takes some guts. But find out what's going on inside the soul of another individual. And as you do, as they reveal to you the struggles they may be having, the problems that they may be going through, the thoughts and fears that they are experiencing, then you'll have the opportunity to connect their problems to the solution that's found only in Christ Jesus. Well, we sure appreciate you for joining us today. Can't believe the program's already over. Time has flown by today. Thank you to all that joined us on Facebook today and on YouTube Live as well. We encourage you to share that opportunity with friends that you know. Let's grow the audience on those two platforms.
Yes.
But we'll be back tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. But if you would like this resource, Your Living Hope, go to basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button and request your copy. We'll send it to you as soon as we can. Well, now for Richard and for the entire team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Lewisville, Texas. We'll see you again tomorrow.